Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 157, episode 2 of Your Daily Zeitgeist, yeah! A production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Tuesday, October 27th, 2020. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Jack O'Lantern, a.k.a. Pumpkins O'Brien. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Don't go sparking water bongs. Just stick to the Sherlock's and steamrollers you're used to. I know that you're gonna play some hydro or some purple stuff, but I just think you're already stoned. Listen, y'all don't hear me. Okay, shout out to Toilet Bound, Hanako-san, and Jeek on the Discord. That was another two for one person started off with an idea, another person finished it. I love to see the fucking synergy on the Discord. So shout out to y'all for that.
Was that TLC one person's inspired name? Toilet Bound something?
Toilet Bound Hanako-san. Yes.
Nice. Love it. Does that mean that they are stuck on the toilet?
You know, I haven't really gone deep into the lore of Hanako-san's, you know, the legend. Right. It could be a curse in which she was just, you know, connected to a toilet for life by an evil sorcerer. I don't know. Or maybe it could be IBS. I don't know. I don't know.
Danny Glover in Lethal Weapon 2, where he can't get up off of the
How did he realize?
Seat.
Was it the toilet paper?
Yeah, I think they, like, it was a bomb. Left a note for him or something like that.
Yeah, that's weird. Just don't fuck with people in their shit.
They were doing it. It was like a timed hit where like cops all across Los Angeles were getting blown up.
That's right.
There was the
that's
diving right. board. There was another thing. The diving board's the one that sticks with me. Anyways, Miles, it's election time. We're trimming down the format. Cool. We're getting right into the shit.
Right in.
So let's tell the people what we're talking about. We're going to talk about Mike Pence and whether he has COVID. We're going to talk about the pandemic grocery wars.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about whether I feel like I'm seeing a bunch of like paid Trump 2020 SponCon. All over the place, or maybe the news cycle is just tired of like a Biden seems to be winning by the same margin he has the whole time thing. So right. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about this Trump administration plan to use mall Santa Clauses to popularize the vaccine for COVID-19.
Wait, what?
I missed. Yeah, this. We'll get into that.
Is joke or no? Nothing's a joke anymore. It's 2020. That's
is
real.
Joke or no?
Is joke or 2020?
Is joke or 2020? it's 2020. It's piss puck. We're gonna talk about Borat. We're gonna talk about the shitty merch game of both the campaigns. All of that, plenty more. But first, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious, the talented Marcella Arguello!
Hey. It's me.
What's up?
It's the me. Bay Area Beyonce.
Oh, don't say that. Beyonce. They'll be mad. Somebody's going to be mad if you say that. Yeah.
Well, just vocally, as okay, in impersonations
that's
go.
That's dangerous. You can get me in hot water with that
Do
shit.
You think there's someone up there who's like, I'm the Bay Area Beyonce. I'm Beyonce.
I'm Beyonce.
LA to the Bay.
It's not even, you know what, in these times of sensitivity, it's not even like the accuracy, it's the audacity of saying shit. And I'm just right. Yo, I'm not black. I didn't say that. I didn't say Bay Area Beyonce.
For people who don't know, the impersonation, I mean, you should just do prank calls and like raise money for a good cause.
I probably
cause
could. That's actually funny. Yeah. It's funny. It's me, Beyonce.
You're like, oh my God, hold on. Who do you want to speak to?
Raise money for AIDS. You heard of AIDS. We raising money for that shit. Thank you so much for your donations.
For AIDS. Yeah. There you go. Marcella, what are you up to, actually? We are not asking how What's are you anymore because... everybody's shitty, but how?
I mean, I'm not shitty. I'll say that. I'm fucking.
I remember last time you were like, I'm living my best.
I'm doing great. Good. I'm sorry that your other guests are failing at life and don't know how to make the most out of their situations.
Right.
What's the new wave with you? What's since last time?
I bought a keyboard. So I'm learning Christmas songs because my dad used to play piano. I mean, my dad was a musician. He played piano and played guitar. And sang, and so I realized I miss most his Christmas song playing on the piano because we still have his piano. So, and my mom was like, I'm gonna get rid of it. I was like, no, you're not, bitch. What? but I was like, I can't keep it and then not learn stuff. So I bought a little keyboard so I could just like play wherever, whatever. And it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Have you always been
figuring it out? You figuring it out?
I'm figuring out. Yeah, I'm learning. I'm right now. I'm on Jingle Bells. You know, the
dun,
classic.
Dun, dun, dun,
it's
dun,
good.
Dun.
But on the left hand is what's fucking me up. You know, doing right. Doon, while you play.
Hit those
chords.
Right, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Hitting those
chords. Set the table for that melody.
That just reminded me of the only song I can play, which is the beginning of Runaway by Kanye West.
Oh, God.
The four notes.
This is awful. Why am I here? I can't stand this, dude. You rejected.
That's the equivalent of Stairway to Heaven when you go to Guitar Center, but in the beat making section.
Yeah.
Where they're like, no Runaway on the MPC.
Yeah.
They're like, hold up though. Well, we got you. I remember that whole time I was so pissed. I think I've talked about this before because that was not like skillful MPC playing. Like there are people who are nice on drum machines, like who you think they're playing a live kit. And I was like, this man is just playing one button at a time.
But I think but you know Kanye, he's like, what if we just break it down? What if we strip it down?
No, it is genius. Right. Because I'm not going to lie, I was like, yo, this should go. Mm. And then when people were feeling it too much, then I was like a hater. I was like, yeah, but the thing with the NPC was weak though. But yeah, this
you're
should go.
Where are you from, Miles?
The Valley.
Oh my God, typical Valley behavior.
Well, I bet if I said Delaware, you're going to be like, typical Delaware behavior.
Yeah, that's the joke, you idiot. That is the joke.
I know, I love it.
Joke writing works. Where are you from? Like, that's my favorite thing to do with an audience. I miss, shout out to audiences. I miss you guys.
Right.
Just like, whatever they say, I just immediately am like, yeah, typical whatever. Like, it doesn't even need to make sense. People are just
typical
like.
Typical Simi Valley over here.
We're drunk. She's hilarious. She just goes off the top of her head. How does she do it?
It's like she's done this 5,000 times before. Yeah.
Just trying to move it along.
Did you play instruments though before? Or are you like learning how to play piano right now?
I'm basically learning, but when I was a kid, I mean, my dad wanted us to learn, and so he did buy me a piano. I mean, I'm sorry, a keyboard when I was a kid. But I mean, he was a fucking psychopath, so I couldn't like really learn from him. And it just made me be like, I'd rather just never do this. And
right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he was abusive. And so I was like, I'm not going to do this. So now I'm like, well, you know, I kind of miss. And I also realize because none of us play, none of my nieces and nephews give a shit about that stuff. So I was like, you know, it'd be cool if I could just learn a few basics and then be like, oh, did you want to come over here and learn? I can teach you. Yeah. You know, just, you know, they can play like basic melodies and shit. So. That's kind of, you know, just family shit. I just love my family.
That. Yeah. But that's great that you're like, you're even thinking of it for like posterity's sake and like preserving like traditions within your family too.
I mean, it's not just like, I'm Latina, bitch. I'm Latina is what we do. Yeah. That's what we do.
All right. Well, speaking of what you do, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are or what you're up to?
Well, yesterday, because I've been, again, spending a lot of time with my family. So yesterday I was with my mom, and she has like a really great inside plant collection, and of course she has her great, you know, oasis in the back. But she was like, you know, she's always bragging. Everybody always comes by and they're like, wow, your plants are so healthy. So she was saying how she was told that the Wi-Fi helps the plants grow. Do you know this? Did you hear about this?
No, but I love that.
What?
So your mom just comes right back with that? She's like, oh, it's the Wi-Fi.
Well, no, she's saying someone recently told her that. So now she's playing music from the TV in the house because the plants are right next to the TV.
Got you.
And so I was like, is there truth to that? So I like looked it up because so of course there's arguments for both sides, like everything.
And even some people, Wi-Fi grows plants.
Yeah. So some people think it's bad for your plants and some people say, no, it's actually very good for your plants. But of course, there's not enough research.
Right.
To prove any side of it. So
what's like the logic behind the Wi-Fi actually stimulating the growth?
Something like, about the fucking the waves, the electricity, and my mom was, here's the thing that was funny to me was my mom was like, I think it's like, you know, you're supposed to talk to your plants. So instead of talking to your plants, you have the music playing for the plants. But I mean, I didn't really get into it that deep, but yeah, it's the fucking waves and shit. It's energy.
It's all waves. That's what we've been saying.
It's all waves, you know, it's wavy. But it is, it's the energy that's coming out. I mean, it's just like if something can kill them, right? Anything can kill a fucking plant. If you sneeze on a plant and you got COVID, it's going to kill that plant. I don't know if that's true, but
that's for
sure. I mean, even if you have
you could water it. Motherfuckers water plants and they die.
That's what I'm saying. You got the wrong kind of dirt. You got the wrong kind of dirt. They won't stick to that. So I'm like, you know what? I believe this bitch, you know? I believe her.
Yeah, I'm going to give her this one.
I'm going to give her this one. It was interesting.
I feel like I have heard that classical music like is good for plants, but like all things, I feel like classical music is like, there's such a classical music bias. It's just like old ass white people who work in the media just being like, classical music is makes your children smarter. Classical music makes plants grow stronger.
Classical music is like the antebellum period for music lovers. Like, well, before black people got a hold of it and started making it good.
This is why I like coming on this podcast, because you guys always get to the shit that I would have usually said back in the day, and then people would get mad at me for saying that shit. But you guys nailed it. I love this. I love this podcast.
Well, that's why we lose listeners so rapidly at this point. I'm pretty sure this is for just my mom who's listening now.
Yeah, and
she's mad because she raised me on classical music. I mean, I love classical music, but it is something... It has its place, but the science thing you were talking about, I felt like that was one of the earliest, like, boring ass, dry ass science fair projects kids would do. It was always like how to make this volcano with the fucking baking soda. And another one was like, will a plant grow faster with rock music, classical music, or no music? And does Coca-Cola help?
Watch this thing get dissolved by Coca-Cola. It's just like, depending on what it is.
I had the most
just my insides
up. I didn't want about
watch my insides get dissolved by Coca-Cola.
I had the shittiest one. I got the worst. I hated science class. I was terrible at it. Like, one of mine was just like, how long will it take for a bone to decompose in my yard? And I was like, yeah, this is low stakes. And my teacher was like, what did you prove exactly? I'm like, nothing. Also, my dog ate the bone.
I had to go
to KFC and eat a fucking, just get a good old drumstick bone and microwave the shit out of it. I put it in the oven to try and make that shit look old as fuck. And then my teacher was like, what is this? It was all bad.
God, I love kids. We're so stupid. Even when we're trying to like be good and then the shit doesn't work out and you're like, how do I make up for this? I didn't plan for this disaster. And you can't say that to your teachers because then they're just like, no, you didn't do the assignment. It's like, no, I did, but my dog did my homework. And then they don't
cut to me like crying on my bike riding to KFC because I'm like, I gotta get a bone.
When your homework is literally a bone, it's tough for your dog not to eat your homework.
Exactly.
Yeah. What is something you think is underrated?
Okay, look, my underrated, overrated are basically not one and the same. There's two sides of the same coin. I don't know what the expression to use, but texting and calling, okay? I think calling is underrated. Calling your homies is underrated. Yeah. And texting is fine because I do it all the time, but I also call all my friends. But I hate people that are just like, especially on Twitter, you see it all the time. You're going to FaceTime me without a warning? It's like, yeah, you ugly bitch. Answer your fucking FaceTime. I'm your friend. I don't care what you look like, you stupid ass selfish bitch. I just want to talk to you and see you. Yeah. So I'm just kind of sick of this attitude of like, especially right now. Right now is the time to get into calling your friends if you've never been into it. But I've been into it since I was a kid. You know, I used to have that Garfield phone. Oh, hey.
Oh, shit. And look at you.
Wow. I know. Yeah. I think we got it at a garage sale. I love talking on the phone. My friends all know, my close friends know that I just love, I'll call them all the time. Not all the time, but frequently.
Time flies on a phone call.
Oh my God, it's so fun.
It's like, it's time travel. Like, one of my boys called me over the weekend, and I was like, next thing you know, he's like, damn, we were just talking for 50 minutes. And he's like, and I was just calling to tell you about this one thing. And I was like, I know. Mm-hmm. And then this is what happens. You start being like, remember this? What's going on? What? Oh my God. All right, be safe. Kiss the children for me.
Because you love each other. And that's all it is. Phone calls are such a good way to express the love for each other. And I think also because of social media, people think that they're seeing their friends, you know, like, oh, yeah, I've seen you.
Right.
It's like, bitch, you haven't talked to this person in so long. You need to call each other. Hearing each other's voices is so nice. That's also why people like listening to podcasts. It's like they're hearing their friends talk.
Right. Right.
You know? To the listener right now, especially you.
We are talking to you.
And you, Rebecca-tha, we love you.
I like that you just picked the two most popular names in America.
Yeah.
Jerry and Rebecca-tha.
Yeah. Rebecca, the, you know.
I am, I just have to.
Here he goes. He can't even get this thing now.
He's getting verklempt.
Typical Valley behavior. I have to just say, because there may be listeners who are like me, or maybe I'm uniquely fucked, but time for me when I'm on a phone call goes actually much slower, and I don't know why. That's just probably
like a personal
even
call?
Like with a friend, yeah. Yeah.
Wait, are you looking at your watch? You're like, oh my God.
Oh my God. I'm always like trying to figure out like the nearest off ramp. It's bad. But I mean,
how many close friends do you have?
Oh, that's a complicated question.
Yeah. See, you're just a piece of shit. Yeah, I bet.
I still like feel your observation. Like, I haven't talked to my homie for like 6-7 months, and like we've just been texting a lot. And then I called him for his birthday over the weekend, and it's like totally different. It's like,
it
man,
is.
I forgot
Isn't
how much
nice?
I love like the sound of your voice. Now let me get the fuck off this call.
Here's my thing, though. That's all you need, though. I'm not saying you got to be on the phone for an hour to catch up with people.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, yeah, a quick call sometimes is better than like, I mean, especially right now, we're not seeing people. You know, we're texting is. Time is getting lost through texting, you know, like you think you're talking to people and the next thing you know, you're like, damn, I haven't talked to this person. Or it feels like you talk to them a lot, but really you're not, because the time is going so slow in life. And then texting is like, it's not sufficient. That's all I'm saying. It's not sufficient. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry you don't have any close friends that you love chatting on the phone with.
No, it is sad.
Were you ever a phone chatter though, Jack? Even as like a kid, like, you know, and be like, get off that phone, Jack. Like, were you one?
No, I had like when I was in fifth grade, I had a girlfriend in fifth grade.
See, I told you, I called
who,
it.
Who like wanted to talk for hours on the phone, and I would play. That's how I got good at that game, Labyrinth, with the marble.
God, I hate men.
You were just playing that. Wow, I love
it's
it.
The most It's totally mindless. It's not thing where we just listen to some REM, play Labyrinth, and talk to Leanne.
I would be on the phone with anybody for like hours at a time. Like, you watching Cops right now too? All right. And then not talk for like 10 minutes and then be like, oh shit. Oh yeah. My God. Is this for, what the fuck are they thinking? All right. Anyway. Yeah.
That's that old school bonding. I love that shit.
Yeah, yeah. I miss that shit.
Sorry, Jack.
I don't not like talking to people.
It sounds like you hate talking to everybody. It sounds like you hate talking to us right now.
He keeps going to
place to differ with you.
Why do you hate me, bro?
The time. The
I'm
time
out here just trying to
slow.
Connect. I'm trying to connect with you, and you're just like, ugh.
Yeah. You're like, yeah, just let me in. But yeah, I think just even for a quick one, just call and say, you good? Hey, all right, fine.
Hey, it's good to hear your voice.
It hits so different hearing a voice. That's it.
Yeah, it does. That's
do you think maybe we long for it more because we kind of came up in the time when the only thing we had to communicate with our friends was a telephone? Like,
yeah.
Even before AIM, like, you just will call somebody on the phone. And
yeah, but
I wonder if like it's so inbuilt that we still desire that.
100% true. And which is also true for, you know, our parents' generation. Like, they would,
yeah,
you know,
they love the fucking phone.
Yeah, they love the phone. And that's why I really hate that these younger kids, these kids these days, they're just not, they don't even know how wonderful it is because they have never really done it, you know?
Yeah,
like, it's not the thing that they do. I mean, remember when three-way calling came out?
Oh.
These white bitches tried to trap me into talking shit. Oh, man, that was so funny. Like, the drama that you can get
they
with
didn't
phone calls.
Like,
what do you think
I'm
of
sure.
her? You're like, what?
That was
oh, you're
big.
Like, let me tell you. Oh, you came to the right place.
No. You know what happened? She said, oh, what did you think about, you know, Mandy? And I was like, oh, yeah, remember what you said? You said that she was a fucking bitch. I do agree with that. I do agree that what you said about her being a fucking bitch. I didn't even know I was getting set up.
Yeah.
But I fucking fucked their friendship up for a little while. It was great.
There you go.
The whole thing. Take them all down with you.
Yeah, it was fun. It was like a better version of that Mean Girls scene.
Right.
but what do you think of Super Producer Anna Hosnier, actually, Marcella?
What do I think of her? I think she's fucking great. No, she, we zoomed before I did the first, you know, quarantine daily zeitgeist, and I was so happy to catch up with her. I forced her on the phone. I was like, stay on, let's catch up, bitch. And she was just like, okay, I'll stay on. And then we were catching up and we were having fun. It was like we were hanging out because I love, especially with women, like it's just so fun to catch up. We're so great. Me and Anna kind of look like we're related.
Mm.
Got that Lebanese blood in me, so we look like we're related, you know.
I can see y'all at the same cookout for sure.
Yeah.
What is what's something you think is overrated? Is it the texting?
It's the texting, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I think I don't know if it's overrated is the right word, but it's more just like we're too dependent on it for connection. Yeah.
It's that it's insufficient to
convey
the emotion and like connection that you have to people just through text. I mean, we should have known when sarcasm didn't get through. I'm like, yeah, this texting shit is dumb.
Well, it's also just like it bleeds into DMing, right? Because it's like in my head, I'm like, oh, I was just texting with her the other day. And it's like, no, we were DMing. And that is its own bullshit, you know, because you're only talking about what you're seeing online or what somebody else posts. And the next thing you know, you're like, wait, I haven't texted her. I haven't called her. So, I hate it.
All right, guys, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
No.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back. And Mike Pence has COVID.
Oh, my God. He's so sexy. Just kidding.
I know.
Maybe, maybe not.
He looks so official in that Borat. We are going to talk about Borat eventually.
I can't wait.
Mikhail Pence.
He looked so official and reassuring when he was up there being like, and they will... COVID will go away tomorrow.
That was a crazy scene. But we're talking about him now.
15 people. Well, now because over the weekend we found out this, look, I don't know how else to say it, but it looks like there's a full-on fucking outbreak in his circle. Like the amount of people that have tested positive for COVID from his chief of staff to like his like body man, which is like, you know, another just, you know, your assistant, basically the person that's with you all the time. At least 5 people have tested positive, yet him and mother, very negative. They tested very negative. They're very safe. But this statement, this is what has a lot of people talking about, because everyone's like, oh my God, well, you know, if the vice, if he's been around people that have tested positive, he should probably quarantine, you know, in the name of fucking safety and shit, rather than doing super spreader events. But
yeah,
you know,
but you can't expect them to do that when he's Captain Charisma. He's got to be out there winning them votes.
Yeah, confirming Army Coney Barkat to the Supreme Court, which Democrats are like, please don't go there. If you have been around all these COVID people, please don't kill everybody. But the reasoning here from a press aide from the vice president's office is, quote, while Vice President Pence is considered a close contact with Mr. Short, someone who tested positive, in consultation with the White House medical unit, the vice president will maintain his schedule in accordance with the CDC guidelines for essential personnel.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Who be more official?
More essential,
be more essential than
this.
Mike Pence. If this guy's not essential, I'll tell you what. I've seen Veep. I've seen how important the vice president's office actually is to what goes on in
this
country.
Top of each other. I would just find it funny if... Because you know how he's like not allowed to be near women or whatever the fuck his bullshit thing is about women? That like only the people on his staff that are only the men on his staff got it and all the women didn't. That would be funny.
Yeah, I think unfortunately, maybe actually it may have been all guys. We'll have to look. At this point, they're keeping everything so secretive.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
you
it's
know.
Hard to know who.
What's
yeah.
the truth?
But, you know, again, he's going to, like, he has a rally that he was going to Monday. He has another one.
I mean,
one.
But they don't even believe in it anyways. Do you know what
right,
I mean? Like,
yeah.
even if you have it, they don't believe that it's dangerous. So it's like, it's of course he's doing it. Of course it's going to be packed. Of course these people want to fucking put their mouth on him. They're fucking brainwashed.
Yeah, Mark Short, the dude, is specifically somebody who
puts his mouth on. Oh.
Yeah,
no, he was out here telling people all the time saying, mm-hmm. "Oh, COVID, it wasn't real." It's like had that big hoax attitude when it came to COVID.
Big hoax energy.
I mean, Trump was the same, right?
Right.
They just don't. Oh man.
Yeah, they don't.
How many pastors have we lost because of that? You know,
R.I.P. Right.
I know. It's what are you gonna do?
let's talk about the pandemic grocery war. It's been bad news for Whole Foods, which I was at first surprised by, but when you kind of explained it to me, Miles, it made a little more sense.
Well,
it's
yeah,
the lines, right?
It's everything, apparently. So the regular, your Kroger's, Meijer's, et cetera, like your normal national chain, like supermarket
I love the
chains.
Word normal. I love that you use the word normal in that. Okay, go ahead.
Well, yeah, because I want to say before you go to like your, you know, Bougetto Whole Foods where like you overpay for the artichoke.
Right.
Like, you know, the all the chains that we know are Ralph's and et cetera. They've had a spike. Obviously, they've had growth because it makes sense. People are shopping differently. They all call it like mission-based shopping now because it means I got to load the fuck up. This ain't about, oh, I'll come back in a couple hours if I forgot something. Everyone is like, No, I need to stock the fuck up. So those companies, great. They've had growth while also not actually paying their workers. I know, remember, Kroger had like their hero bonus that like lapsed real quick. When they're like, well, we're only going to acknowledge COVID for about 4 months. And then, you know, it's on you. So now there's been a little bit of analysis on the industry because also looking at Trader Joe's and Whole Foods, so Trader Joe's had a drop in sales of 16% from March to September, and Whole Foods had a drop in 33%. And they're like, what the fuck? They wanted to dig deeper and be like, is it both the same? Are they both fucked up for the same reasons? And they said,
right,
quote,
they're more expensive, more prestige.
Right. Well, but I mean, Trader Joe's, you can get some decent priced things relative to you know,
especially
what you're
getting. Especially in the frozen section.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It says, quote, while both chains saw nearly a 60% drop in year-over-year business in April, Trader Joe's managed to recover over the summer. And by September, its decrease in business was about the same as the regional chains. Whole Foods, however, continued to lag. And in September, it was 25% less than the year before. So they're still down pretty significantly. And their theory is that for the people who are doing this study, quote, that Trader Joe's was much more successful at adapting to the mission-driven shopping pattern that has accelerated across the country during the pandemic. So meaning people were, A, just more down to travel as far as they did to get their, like, Trader Joe's shit. Because, you know, there's some shit you can only fucking get at Trader Joe's. And once you get used to that shit, you're like, fuck it, I'm going. The other thing is that they really tried to make the waiting in line process as pleasant as possible because, A, they wanted to make it safe indoors, so they kept the stores pretty empty. And it already, if you've been to a Trader Joe's during normal shopping hours, being in an empty Trader Joe's, you'd be like, is this a fantasy world that I love being in? Because most of the time, I went to one in Manhattan. This one in Manhattan, the Lower East Side, it's a fucking loop. You just stand in line, and with your on your way to the register, you just shop on your way to
get
there.
Yeah, you just grab shit, and you can't go back. You can't go back to try.
And I'm like,
no turning back.
Very different.
Turning back.
They're like, don't go. He's like, ask someone in back if they can get you the peanut butter stuffed pretzels. Don't go back, sir.
Yo, I have been fucking up some peanut butter stuffed pretzels for the past week. Those are so good.
They're fantastic.
But so, I mean, like, the thing that we're basically saying is that Trader Joe's has like shit you can't get anywhere else, and Whole Foods has worse versions of shit you can get everywhere else.
Do you know what Trader Joe's
does? More
expensive
and less flavorful.
What this? I mean, I don't know. This isn't
less
really
chemicals,
relevant.
But means flavor.
Yeah, but I was gonna say, you know what Trader Joe's does is they find small companies that have really delicious stuff. They cut a deal where they put their own labels on it. I got really upset when I heard that.
Mm. Oh yeah, yeah,
but
yeah. Yeah. They're just, they do it. It's like a...
I just don't like it because they're not really supporting these companies, but they kind of are because they're cutting a deal. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I'm sure probably they have larger orders. I don't know. I don't know the ins and outs of mass food production aside from it's probably dark and grim.
Yeah.
But the thing with the other thing they're noticing is with Whole Foods shoppers, they're not as loyal, you know, to the TJ's brand. So a
rich
lot of
white people,
just,
why
they just
what,
upped
they don't
and fucked
know loyalty.
Off to like they just fucked off to their local market because they're like, why the fuck I gotta go here anyway? Plus, like, you know, they go into a store and they remember that that Kraft Blue Box mac and cheese actually hit way harder than that Annie's Bunny nonsense.
That's true.
You know what I mean,
that Annie's Bunny shit is gross, man.
It's got to be Blue Box for me. I'm sorry, you know, and I get that. Sure, it could be more organic, whatever the fuck. But I'm sorry, yeah. the Blue Box is what it is. That is, there's only one Blue Box. There's only one mac and cheese in this.
I don't really shop at Whole Foods. I like a cheap meal.
Yeah. Anna Hosnier warns me that my mentions are over, but you know what? I will put my body on the line against Annie's Bunnies. I like the little crackers though, like the cheese they
that's
make for the little bunnies.
Great snack,
but
for
not
the kiddos,
mac and cheese. Okay, and I'll go on
mac
record
and cheese
saying that
is pretty rough by comparison. But you got to put. You know what's helpful? Actually, brown mustard. You put that in, it makes it a little.
What?
Hit a little bit harder. Yeah.
Into your Annie's?
Yeah. Into your Annie's or any mac and cheese. Any box mac and cheese.
Whoa.
Brown mustard. God.
Yeah.
This is wild.
Spice it up a little bit.
Rachel Ray shit.
Rachel Ray shit. Definitely.
I thought you said interracial shit. And I was like, oh, maybe he did learn it from his lady.
Like, damn. Yeah. That's a Korean tip. Huh?
I think I learned. I think that's actually bachelor shit when, like, the only thing you have in your house is mustard and Kraft mac and cheese.
That's funny.
I somehow convinced myself that those improve
like,
each other.
That's funny, too, because, like, men think buying brown mustard makes them fancy. So that's actually, that checks out. That logic checks out.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's how superficial we are. And I'm like, I bought name brand Q-tips. I mean, I'm a 1%er now, baby.
Yeah. Men are notoriously bad at buying good Q-tips.
Yeah. Or having them at all.
Yeah. Period.
I wonder if Whole Foods will bounce back because it is.
I think so.
Jeff Bezos made like $5 trillion, so I'm sure he can float them for a couple
of years. The thing that Whole Foods, I feel like, is known for is a thing that people like don't really have the luxury and that you have to like keep going back for, which is like the fresh produce and shit.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah.
That's and like also, an expendable thing or like a thing that expires really quickly.
I would also think that most people don't even think of Whole Foods as a place for food. Because most people just call it whole paycheck. Like, that's, like, if they did their own market research, they're like, most people just think we're whole, like, we're a troll store for people to throw their money away in, and you actually don't
leave
with
groceries. That's true, though. Whole Foods is a waste of money.
But I think that's where they're trying to figure out what to do. The other thing is that because of all, like, the Amazon Prime delivery, like, the stores are just way more crowded because you do have, like, wealthy people who are like, please,
right.
sir,
sending
go.
Servants, yeah.
Yeah, please go and collect my groceries. And then that causes, like, a jam within the stores. So at the end of the day, you know, a lot of people are just saying Trader Joe's, they were appreciating that aspect of it. But, you know, the pandemic grocery wars, I feel like they've only begun.
I'm a food for less gal myself.
Yeah, there's there's everything. Superior Warehouse, motherfucking.
There's just so many options to get food closer to you because Whole Foods are they're usually far away from most people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Well, and that's how you know, like, when a place is fully gentrified. You're like, we are within 2 miles of a Whole Foods. Like, we've done it. The property values have skyrocketed and people who used to live here have been pushed out.
Yeah, that's true. I remember a white lady telling me she was excited that the changes happening to Highland Park. She's like, hopefully we get a Whole Foods soon. And I was like, you fucking devil bitch.
You're like, have you been to the local store right there? Their shit is more fresh than the fucking Whole Foods.
Exactly. And there's so many options. I don't know. Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about the plan for the war on Christmas. Jason Pargin came on the show a couple weeks ago and brought up how Christmas was going to be politicized this year, like more than ever, because, you know, it was going to be a question of whether you could have your relatives around you. And obviously the people who are like, we must protect Christmas with our bodies and our long rifles are the same people who don't believe in COVID. So it's going to be wild. But so thinking ahead, the president's homie, Michael Caputo. We've talked about him because he got $300 million for an ad campaign intended to defeat despair. That's a quote, with the help of mega celebrity powerhouses like Dr. Oz and Dennis Quaid.
Wait, so what was that for?
Was that when you were out? That was like, they would just have like, Dennis Quaid would be on a podcast where he talks about like how, you know, COVID was going to be over soon and like it wasn't as bad as it seemed. Oh, and boy. Yeah, it's this whole idea that you just...
It's a despair thing. That's what it is.
Connecting the fact that people get depressed from being locked in their houses to, and therefore we should just be happy and go about our regular business like nothing's happening.
Regular business being you're underpaid, you have no health insurance.
That's right. There's
poverty abounds.
Regular business at the meat.
Regular
factory.
Business, right? Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
So, anyways. Caputo wanted an additional $250 million for a campaign that would provide a COVID vaccine to professional Santa Clauses ahead of the general public.
Oh, my God.
Then they would be able to go to work in America's malls.
Oh, my God.
And promote the vaccine to all the kids who sat on their lap, which seems...
What?
Doesn't that sound like a Nathan For You bit? Like that
I'm fully expecting Nathan For You to be like, season 4, y'all weren't even ready. I got into the Department of Health and Human Services.
Disguise myself as someone named Michael Caputo. It's just such like cocaine energy to be like, yeah. And then we're gonna get the mall Santas, and they're gonna
and the kids like, already trust him, and the fucking parents do too, man. And if you're like, dude, this Santa has been pre-vaccinated, like don't worry about it, you know what I mean? Like, oh fuck yeah, dude. Ugh.
Yeah. Because what kid wouldn't want an experimental medication that's been rushed out to satisfy?
You
want a truck? Well, what about this experimental vaccine instead?
Yeah.
Oh.
Also, it suggests that the vaccine isn't available to families who don't celebrate Christmas. So,
cool. Oh my God.
And very in keeping with the theme of the Trump administration. The reason we found out about this is Caputo had a call with Rick Irwin, who is the head of the Fraternal Order of Real Bearded Santas. None of that fake beard shit. And
I'm sorry, is that a serious sentence?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. There's people. So there's like these old retired dudes who really take pride in being like the real Santa Claus. And, you know, they have their own little union. And this dude who is the head of it got a call from Caputo, who said to him, if you and your colleagues are not essential workers, I don't know what is.
Oh, boy.
And then Caputo also said, I cannot wait to tell the president. He's going to love this.
Dude, his website makes me want to drink a bunch of acetone.
What is it?
Who, Irwin?
SingingSanta.com.
Hell yeah.
And it's Singing Santa and Diva Claus. Welcome to our home on the web. And it's a straight up like Angel Fire website with the animated background and shit.
Oh my God.
And I think his wife is Diva Claus. And like they got all these like headshots and just weird shit. They're like, they got the Southern California singing bearded Santa game on lock, I guess.
Yeah. Woo. There's a whole thing called SantaCon where all these dudes hang out.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, spread COVID to each other.
Right. So there's a quid pro quo where Santas get the vaccine first, and then Santa Claus is politicized as a tool of the Trump administration. The only reason that this plan didn't go through is obviously, like there's no vaccine, so they didn't get that vaccine in time, unfortunately. Doesn't quite work.
I'm just like picturing like all the Santas going to get this vaccine, and then all the Mrs. Clauses being like, "I'm an anti-vaxxer,"
right.
Happily in oh man, this is just wow.
I mean, Santa as a political tool of the Trump administration makes a lot of sense.
Perfect sense, yeah.
Red
well,
hat.
And also like the embodiment of like consumer capitalism during the holidays, which is Santa being like protected. Like there's also like the metaphor of like nothing can bring down our holiday impulse to buy shit either.
I thought you were going to say nothing can bring down the white man.
No.
That's everyone's
not.
Favorite white man is Santa Claus, right?
He's the best.
So, right?
So,
more love than Tom Hanks?
Who ranks higher?
Tom Hanks as Santa?
He played the
Tim Allen.
They really could have. That would have been powerful if they hadn't fucked up the computer animation for Polar Express, where Tom Hanks was the guy who like welcomed you onto the Polar Express. And I'm pretty sure he was also the model for Santa Claus. Anyways, here, I just want to read this conversation that they had together. Caputo, we're in partnership with many organizations and we're getting in more every day. If we got into a partnership with you and your colleagues, we can do something where we employ, you know, you go to your colleagues who are in different cities where we're having events and have them help. And when the vaccine is available, you get vaccinated first. And like Irwin was like, yo, people are going to not like that, that we're getting the vaccine.
Even
before
the head
them.
Of the Santa committee was like,
Santa knows. Yeah. Santa knows. Yeah.
But then Irwin at this part of the conversation was like, you set up a station in Southern California and I'll put 50 Santas in full costumes in front of the cameras. And you let me know what other cities you're operating in and I'll send Santas there. Caputo goes, all right, okay, I'm in, Santa, if you're in. Like he thought he was really talking to Santa Claus.
Also, I love it's like a mob boss who's like, yo, I can get 50 Teamsters there on that site ASAP with bats and 2x4s if you need me to.
And then just an added piece of insight into the world of career Santas. Irwin said, oh, I'm in. I'm 100% in. I'm in like Elvin.
Oh, my God.
So that's what they do instead of like in like Flynn or something. They say in like Elvin because elves,
oh,
I guess.
Fuck right off.
Rip. Also, your name is Irwin. You could have just said I'm in like Irwin.
Or it's been like, I'm
not that
sure.
They're obviously
I'm down
not
with
that clever.
Plan.
Right.
Yeah. I'm in like Elvin. Elvin who?
You know, Elvin the elf. He dresses up like Elvis.
Trump would have been the, like, it would have been possible for him to politicize Santa Claus if he wasn't just like such a monster with no empathy. He had a call with a 7-year-old a couple years ago where he was like, are you still a believer in Santa? Because at 7, it's marginal, right? The kid was like, no,
what?
Like you couldn't
it's
hear the
margarine?
Kid.
I don't know that word, sir. I'm fucking 7.
You're gonna do a margin call on Santa.
Let's see where we're at on that.
What the hell? What are these topics? This is crazy. What was
this,
this
is
world?
Our world. This
is crazy. This
is our world. Anyways, it's also worth noting our writer Jam pointed out that like these people who play Santa and who like grow real beards are, you know, typically over the age of 65 and obese. So,
yeah,
like the two biggest, two highest risk things you could possibly be.
Oh my God.
Holy shit. That's so true.
I'm just picturing the TV movie where they have one Santa Claus who doesn't take the vaccine and then he becomes a super spreader.
And it's outbreak.
Yeah. Yeah. He's kissing all the kids.
Yeah.
Them.
Or he's like the Aaron Brockovich of Santa's. He's like, don't do it, guys. I'm telling you. They don't have the holiday. Line. They don't have the holiday at heart. They're doing it for themselves. And this is not what us as Santa's should be doing. Mm-hmm. We're here to spread the love of consumer capitalism and Christ.
Oh, man. There, a Target like toy brochure came in the mail. And it's my 4-year-old's like favorite book now.
I believe it. I used to love that shit.
And is just
love
like,
a catalog.
He's got that shit memorized. He's like, okay, so there's this one on this page, and
it's that thick one, right, with the staples.
Yeah, it's got staples. Mm-hmm. It's like
that's dangerous.
You're done.
10 pages. We're fucked.
Yeah, Toys R Us used to send one. Remember that was the shit.
Oh my God, that or I used to do that with East Bay. Like sport athletic shit. Like I would circle all the sneakers. I would tally it up, and I'm like, all right, I need $972.68 to get all the shit I want to hear. Right. And then that's what motivated me to get a job was doing that exercise.
Damn.
All the time.
There you go.
So maybe your 10-year-old will get a job.
Yeah. That's right.
Let's just do keep it. Telling him. That's what because my mom, I would be like, I want this, and she's like, okay, so you got a job too? And I'm like, no. And she's like, so then you need one. And I was like, right, okay, get job, and then I can waste my money and no one can tell me what to do with it. Cut to me with no money in my savings.
I mean, I've been trying to figure out how to get this 4-year-old out of the house, off my couch and into the workforce, you know?
You hate talking to him, huh? It's bad enough.
Exactly. Right, it's like fucking just sitting there
checking
having
your watch
dinner
out?
With that kid.
Just
like, what a nightmare.
What's an elf? I don't know. How the fuck can I answer that question? What an elf is?
They don't fucking idiot. Answer.
Oh, fuck. What do I do?
How often do you think your kids are stupid, Jack? Like, how often,
how often do you think they're stupid?
Just go, God, it's so dumb.
Oh,
I know constantly. You have that thought.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you see that viral video where that woman was basically being like, if I acted like my children throughout the day, and you're
just seeing this adult
be so sloppy, like washing the hands, like pumping 9 times on the soap, and then just rinsing the soap right off, not even washing it, then wiping it on your hands.
I did not see that. That's so funny.
Oh, it's so, it's just like great physical humor because it's you like, but you know, it's born out of an adult being like, you fucking idiot, what are you doing? And it just like, it gets to the point where you're like, I'm gonna make a video out of this now. And it's like, I'm not a comedian. I've been locked up too long with my kids and I'm gonna make fun of them on TikTok.
Yeah, the hand washing thing is, yeah, it's, and it's actually like, the logic of soap is that like you put it on your hands, kills the germs. Your hands are clean, and it's like, nah, that's not how it works.
Do they wash their hands? Do they actually wash their hands, Jack?
Oh yeah, we're big hand washers.
My favorite thing used to be when my niece and nephews were hella little, especially the boys, because the girls you can kind of trust to wash their hands, but the boys, they'd come out of the bathroom and I go, did you wash your hands? And they'd be like, yeah, and I'd be like, let me smell them, and they're like, no,
and run back in.
Yeah, they have to go back in.
Exactly. Yeah.
You cannot trust them.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of like how dumb little boys are, what a bunch of little shit bags 4-year-old boys are.
I love it.
You couldn't even say it. I caught my four year old like putting the soap because we have like soap that smells really good, like smells delicious kind of.
He tasted it.
And it was up he was putting it up to his mouth.
Gonna taste
I was
it.
Like, yo.
Yep.
No.
Yep.
But
wait,
yeah.
What kind of soap you got? Bacon?
Oh, we got it's bath,
like fancy, yeah, Bath and Body Works. So
Bath and Body Works,
the foaming
like,
one, huh? The foaming one.
Most of them are like there's marshmallow latte,
oh, yeah, or like
it's
warm
like,
vanilla
yeah.
sugar. I remember that.
That's abusive.
Yeah, warm vanilla sugar is the one that my kid was like, trying
see,
to
see. Now
drink.
I'm like, why am I slandering this young man? Cut to me, like I would be like, yo, let me get some of your lotion, girl, and just
like, <eat it. laughs> That's funny.
You dip my fries in there.
I will say it is kind of abusive that you guys have such a delicious
such
smelling
delicious
scent.
Smelling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is
no,
on
that's
you.
Not fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, like good smelling candles, they want to eat those.
No, you got to learn. It's like it's like me when I thought dog treats, I would smell and be like, "Yo, is this kind of lit as a food?"
This episode has really taken a turn.
Yes.
Well, you know, we're going deep into our own minds during quarantine.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Please.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Yeah.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back. Real quick, I want to check with you guys if you're noticing something that I've been noticing, which is that like some mainstream media papers are trying to like make, I don't know, like the front page of the Sunday New York Times this weekend was, it seemed like it could have been designed by the Trump administration. There was a headline that was like, Trump brought manufacturing back, is like, his economy is doing amazing. And then the other headline is about how Biden's like ties with the police are frayed. Like, it's like the two talking points of the Trump reelection campaign were like the two headlines at the top of the New York Times. You know, you're also seeing like rappers come out and endorse Trump. So like part of me is wondering if they're just like, I don't think they paid for the New York Times headlines. I think that's a function of, you know, the fact that the media gets tired of printing the same story over and over again. And, you know, the fact that Biden's been up by 8 points pretty consistently the whole past like 5 months is getting boring for them, so they have to like come up with a new angle. Do you think like Lil Pump got paid to endorse Trump? Because his talking points are basically like very on, like in line with what 50 Cent said, where he's like, and he even called Joe Biden Sleepy Joe, which is,
yeah.
It's like the, I mean, this, it's like the Chris Pratt thing where he like texted all his homies, please say something like this about me.
Right.
So I don't get canceled on Twitter.
Avengers assemble to save my career.
Yeah. Same concept. I mean,
they
concept.
Definitely pulled up for him. I mean, well, Lil Pump, you know, he's friends with Kanye. So there's definitely there's connective tissue there that the Trump campaign could get to him through Kanye. Also famously is not talented and probably needs every money, a penny he can get.
That's true.
Same with Joaquin Waka Flocka Flame over here. I don't know what the fuck this man is going on about.
Wait,
either.
What? I didn't know that one.
Yeah,
Waka Flocka Flame is also on. He's also being like, oh man, I think he's better than Obama. You're like,
what?
Are you
I did not see
about
that.
Joaquin? Yes.
That's crazy.
He tweeted something. What was it? The big homie Barack Obama violated Trump at a rally event. Oh no, this is what academics, DJ Academics, I think posted a clip of it. Someone else put a comment who said, people who really think Trump is better than Obama are clowns. And then Flocka comes in saying, guess I'm a clown.
Damn. Tall dudes are dumb.
Is he tall?
Yeah.
Wow. It's really.
That's really. I mean, the 50 Cent one, I was like, yeah, I mean, he's rich and he doesn't really give a fuck about anybody but himself. We kind of always knew that.
I believe with 50 also, though, is he needs to pretend he makes $400,000 a year to keep that myth alive. Like, I would be like, because I don't believe he's making that. I don't think he's in that tax bracket anymore. I mean, you know,
he might
not
be.
Like, above board. he had all that bankruptcy shit. He was hiding money. He was sliding money around to avoid paying things. So like, on if he's not an up and up taxpayer is what I mean to say. It's like, so I'm like, oh, if yeah. you are, you're not paying taxes anyway. So I don't know what this is about aside to be like, oh, $400,000. Yeah, because that's me. People who make $400,000 a year. That is me, 50 Cent, Curtis Jackson, 50 aka Ferrari. Break it down. So yeah, there's a, but yeah, I'm curious. Maybe we will find out that Lil Pump got the got the bag to absolutely, I mean, whatever. He didn't really have a career, but good for him.
I was listening to an episode of Radiolab over the weekend, which is a podcast that's not as good as this one. And they did a story where these like different people with a bunch of different experience in Washington gamed out like what will happen on election night, assuming that Trump does the thing that we all know he's going to do and like tries to invalidate votes and shit. And it's bad. Like, it's Trump discredits the mail-in votes quickly, and you know, then Republicans get behind him, and we're already seeing he has the police behind him. You're seeing, have you seen those videos of like the NYPD mm-hmm. like rolling yeah. through Flatbush being saying like Trump 2020?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I could see. I think if it's not the 35% chance that 538 is giving of Biden winning in a landslide, I think we're going to see some unprecedented shit.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited.
I think that's what, well, that's why a lot of the unions have been already talking about how they'd have to do some kind of general strike if that's where Trump is taking it, like to go that route and trying to organize labor as much as possible to have some kind of response. But I think that's why this is like the most fucking fraught next couple days, because we're all just like, we're watching the car crash in slow motion and we're like, oh shit, is they about to crash in about 6 days? But we just don't know what the fuck is going to happen, if it's going to be like some holy shit stuff or something that I don't know. But
the Democrats have no, like, we all know what's going to happen. They, I think, all know what's going to happen. Like, supposedly they've been lawyering the fuck out of like all the different swing states.
Yeah.
So like, if they're caught by surprise by any of this shit, like, I don't know what to tell you.
I wouldn't be surprised either, though, because I feel like the whole platform is built around people so insulated from any existential threat that they don't have the imagination to look at how bad it can get, because they clearly don't have that same concern for like working people or marginalized people, LGBTQ people. Like, you know, it's just like,
yeah,
just keeping this narrow thing. I'm like, oh, that could happen, but come on now, we have money and we're white. Like, this is how shit works. Yeah. But you know, there are definitely lawyers who are getting engaged, but that's why I'm like, just let's just get to this part already.
I know. I'm ready for it.
Out. I don't know what the
What's
fuck
the
it
next
is,
shit.
Yeah.
my parents fled a, you know, Civil War bullshit ass country. I mean, the country is great, but you know,
right.
These are my roots, bitch. Let's see what goes down. Let's be ready for that shit. It's history repeating itself, really.
Yeah.
Maybe not in this country, but what we've done to other countries, you know, where American people are finally experiencing it. I think I think it's good, but we've fucked over so many other countries that it was inevitable to land here. This bullshit was inevitable. So
including El Salvador, you know what I mean?
I'm like, let's get this right over with.
Mm. Yeah. It is weird. Yeah, I think it, for one thing, if you know, if it is a landslide, because you know, you see all these numbers about how like there are in certain states like more early votes have just been cast than ever before, and in some cases, like for all the votes Trump got in 2016 have already been cast in early ballots in certain states. Like, it maybe there is maybe that little shock to the system has hit a bunch of voters if it plays out in the landslide way where they got a taste of some authoritarian bullshit and it's a blot. Or some people were like, hey, we could lock this thing up for white supremacy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that the motivation is kind of equal
you never
on
know.
Both sides. Like,
you never know. That's the thing.
The anti-Trump motivation is strong, but like, man, those rallies are terrifying. All those just feral.
But there is a lot of people posting on social media that their Republican family members are voting Biden. I mean, and that, which is why our Democratic Party picked him, you know, because that was the safety net that we needed. Unfortunately, I hate to say that, but that's what that extra push was from, right? It's like, we gotta cinch these undecided Trump voters, you know, because an undecided Trump voter is either really into Trump or not. I mean, that's all it is. It's like, how much do they care about their own money and how much do they care about what the hell is going on around them?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The undecideds, I say, are either coward racists or horrifyingly disengaged from reality.
Exactly. But I think it's more on the disengaged side than the horribly racist, because horribly racist people are pro-Trump. That's it. They're picking him. I don't think we have a lot of undecided horribly racist people. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some people are like, not racist enough.
I mean, they're just like, I do like my housekeeper. I do like my housekeeper. I'll go for Biden this time.
Mm. Right, right.
All right, let's talk Borat, guys. We saw Borat over the weekend. Mm-hmm. I really liked it.
Borat, it's spoilers? Nice. Should we warn people if they haven't watched
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah, we should. Borat, spoilers.
Again, if you want if you don't want those boys, skip ahead 14 minutes.
The boilers? We call them boilers.
Boilers. Yeah, yeah. If you don't want any boils on your neck popping up, then skip ahead. But
I liked this way better than the first one.
I don't even remember the first one. It's so long ago. So long ago. I was like, I tweeted like, why didn't anybody warn me about the dicks that are in Borat 2? And everybody was like, you don't remember the first one? I was like, no, I don't.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. This had some, I think I went into this with lower expectations. The first one was like peak Ali G show on HBO. And I was just like, you know, expecting it to be as funny as that. And I don't think it was, but this.
Is it the time? Is it the context that makes it a little less like, you know, because it's easy to be like, damn, man, some American people are fucking ignorant, huh?
Yeah.
Thanks, Borat. And now you're like, oh my God, they're fucking everywhere. And they are this fucking racist or just willing to do anything. The one thing, the biggest observation I realized in watching this is that certain American people, they will abide anything if they are about to make money.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Every moment,
cake shop, plastic surgeon.
Yeah. If you're about to secure a fucking bag, they're like, what do you want me to say? Jews will not replace us on the cake. And I'll do this shit with a smile. They're like, you want to put your daughter in a cage? I will do this shit with a smile. And I get there is maybe some discomfort, but I noticed, like, and this is probably by design too, but the only person who wasn't with the bullshit was the black woman.
Of course.
Yeah.
There was no accident there.
Yeah. When I'm like, damn, like, this is really, whether that is just because that's how it shook out or how it naturally happened, I'm like, this is, you see time after time, a business owner being like, yeah, no problem, no problem. I don't care how awful this shit is.
But it's not, they don't see it as awful. They're like, oh, he's doing entertainment. We're doing entertainment. This is entertainment, saying the Jews will not replace us. This is so funny, right? I don't know. He's telling me it's funny. I don't really watch comedy. I mean, that's what that attitude is.
Yeah.
Right.
I was surprised at how many scenes, like, I cringed nearly out of my skin.
I did too, but that was because I was watching it with my mom.
Wait, what is the worst one to watch with your mom?
I don't even remember. I mean,
debutante ball?
We definitely looked at each other like, at the debutante ball. Like, oh my God.
That was, I watched it with my wife.
Well, good. Wow, great restraint right there.
I know, it was hard. I pulled back from it. But debutante ball and the plastic surgeon were both times where she, made me Google to make sure that this wasn't, she was like, I can't believe that this is real. Like, there's
That's
no
so
way.
That's so funny.
This is
real. Know what the other thing was the pastor. I think he's going to hell, first of all.
Right.
That shit was
the a life clinic guy.
Yes. But he was a pastor.
Abortion clinic?
Right, yes. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that was where me and my mom were like, this is really weird. Like, this is a freaking crime. And he's being like, well, we're here now. Let's talk about
So let's forget about the incest thing. Yeah.
Not just incest, the rape. Let's forget about the rape.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's talk about how we want this rape baby to live. It was that. Live. Me and my mom were just like, And then the period thing. Yeah, for sure. Because we were like, this is weird.
There was some apolitical, the haircut where you showed the guy the hair every time he cut it.
Did you see he was putting it in his pocket? It was like, you were like, it was just slightly off camera that you were just like, I mean, I was like,
wait, where are you putting them shits? The first couple I thought he threw away. And then it was like, no, you have a little pocket for that.
Yeah.
Wait, I have a question for you guys. What? Huh. It's almost like what?
I was going to say, like, was he consenting to the length he was cutting, or he was almost asking, is it okay if I keep this? Like, you know what I mean?
That's what was so wild about it. It was so goofy. It was like genuinely funny, and it was just funny. Period.
It was just like pure, yeah.
Purely funny. It was so good.
And the man was so trusting.
Yeah, he's like, uh huh.
And he like rubbing on his dick a little bit. I was like, oh my gosh, this is so weird, so weird. So I want to ask you guys, how much do you think? Because you know, it was obviously shot during Corona, the early part of Corona. How much of it was written to that, and how much of it was just because it's like the end has to do with coronavirus. So did they just were like, let's just fucking go explore this semi-written script?
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they must have had a different ending.
They must have had a different
rewrote
ending.
The whole thing.
Right.
But the fact, like, I didn't think the Pence thing was like the CPAC thing was.
Nah.
I don't know. Like him dressing up as Trump, as like a fat version of Trump, just felt like kind of dumb. And I don't know. Like making fun of Trump's appearance at this point just feels stupid to me and like insufficient unless I'm doing it. But like the fact that they caught Pence being like, there are only a couple of cases in the U.S. like that they caught that moment was so wild.
It
like
was beautiful. Yeah.
And his just posture and general presence is just like a fucking empty suit who just like looks like a politician was just like so palpable.
I mean, he couldn't even have an opinion on what he was seeing because he didn't know what he was seeing and he still couldn't like put his foot down. Like, come on, guys, this is, you see what we have to deal with? Like, he couldn't even say that. He couldn't even just be like, look at these people. This is what we deal with. This is what we are working against. Like, he couldn't even be diplomatic in that sense.
That's true. We've talked before about the time when he was at that Trump-Nancy Pelosi-Chuck Schumer meeting where he just, like, closed his eyes to try and teleport out. In this instance, he seemed like he just, like, short-circuited like a robot and, like, froze as, like, the Borat thing was happening. He didn't, like, really, he wasn't able to, like, emote or say anything.
He couldn't muster up a reaction at all, which I found a little, I mean, greatly off-putting, because it's like, there's obviously something happening that, I mean, it could be, I guess for me, it's like, dude, what if that was like a terrorist that broke into the event? Like, you don't know how to just react to that as a human being. Like, oh shit, what's going on? Are we cool? Is everything safe?
Not, you know why? It's because he had homegirl over his shoulder. And because a woman's posterior was in view, he could not, he had to determine whether or not mother will whoop his ass.
That's
for even
gazing
upon the yeeks of this woman.
He was concentrating on getting rid of his boner. He was like,
is my shock collar going to go off?
That's funny. That was too funny.
The daughter was so good. And for being like totally unknown, like the fact that she just like is not somebody who's been in anything before, and then the fact that like they're able to get away, like get out of these things and get people to sign off
so
on them
crazy.
Are like magic tricks. I still don't know.
I mean,
how they did it.
I guess I there's, you know how many actors that are unknown? So many improv actors are failing in their careers, but then they are pretty funny.
Yeah.
There's a lot of those people.
The CPAC thing was also a good, like, Google it to be like, that couldn't have happened, right? And then, like, you find the thing where it's like, guy dressed as Trump carries woman through Mike Pence speech.
Right. Oh, man. The debutante ball thing had me so fucked up because that one moment where he asked the other father, he's like, hey, how much do you think my daughter
Oh, my God. God
and
bless
the
that little...
dude straight up said, $500.
God
but yeah,
bless
shout
that
out
girl.
To his daughter.
God she bless like, that girl. Oh, that's fucking disgusting.
That's fucking disgusting, Dad.
Yeah. Fuck is wrong. Like, it was purely like, I was like, thank God. That was the one straight person,
I know.
The straight character in the entire movie who was like, what the fuck? That along with the black woman who was like, well, first of all, yes, I've touched my vagina and I am still here, honey. Don't, your father's a fucking liar. That scene really got me too because I went to a debutante ball once. This girl I was dating in high school went when I was like, what the fuck is this? I'd never been before, but I was just
thing
so
for white girls. You had a history with it. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, but I came in there high as fuck. And I remember
and they
I had
couldn't
to,
tell because you got those eyes.
Yeah, exactly. They
don't and they're know. All ra- they're all racist.
And right. Exactly. And they're like, wow, that's I like that she's doing international dating.
Yeah, exactly.
So I remember just how awkward those, how stiff those things are. And especially for me, that's like the most like sort of well-to-do white person space mm-hmm, like I had mm-hmm. been to that point. And just like, what is the purpose of this? Like, well, how much are you spending to do this? And what is it for? Like, what do you get at the end? Like, it's the National Charity League or some shit. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
It honestly feels like you're like watching some sort of like other culture. It's just like so. Yeah. It feels like a sociological like thing where it's like you could have a Natural Geographic like narrator over the top of it and it would
right.
make sense to
it's
me.
It's so
and
weird.
It's like the insecure father parades around his daughter.
Right.
That he wishes he could fuck and he can't. Yes. So he has to get her ready for the next man to fuck.
For the next person. But then we'll have very stringent guidelines as to who that male will be.
Right.
It's really awful. It's a very feminist movie, though.
Yeah.
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 I mean, that's for sure. That's part of including that is like just the feminist concepts and how men have to learn to change for their daughters. And some of them don't. And some of right. them do, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Are those two guys he was bunkering down with who are like, suddenly they're like, nah, man, hold on now. Women are, they're equal.
Yeah, Democrats right. are evil and they're not real. They don't deserve rats, but women are equal.
But also Hillary Clinton does drink adrenochrome out of scared children.
So. I mean, that,
I heard.
That's
what
the other funny
it's
thing.
Said. It's been said.
That's the other funny thing about a lot of these people is that they're so ignorant, but they're like slowly progressing. Like they're slowly right. changing their minds on certain very specific thing. And then when that dude was like, that's a conspiracy theory, dude. You can't read this book. It's a conspiracy theory. My fucking jaw dropped. Like, how does he recognize that this book is terrible? But because it's like shitting on women, but they everything else that they believed was fine.
Well,
it was
bonkers. Or that those guardrails aren't up like when an attack is made on like any woman in general. Oh, it's like it doesn't kick in like, well, hold on now. It's only when someone very narrowly is like, men better than women. Women have little brain. That's what I mean. Like, well, hold on. We're past that.
Yeah.
Fella.
Right.
We're
on
judge
this
these
thing.
Bitches as individuals.
Yeah. You got to get on this new shit, Bo Rat, which is these bitches are demons.
Yeah.
That's what we're on right
that's
now.
That's right.
If you get
and
to know one.
Demons are not women.
You have
they
to
are
get
not equal.
To know one before you decide to take away their rights. That's what he was right. trying to say. That's what feminism is to them.
What did y'all think of the Giuliani interview?
Oh, my God.
So wild. So wild.
You knew it was coming too. Oof. The way he was like, and you knew she was definitely like
touching
flirting
the knee,
with him
touching
just
the
to
knee.
See what comes back from him. And yeah. he answered in kind.
Yeah.
Like, very like, you're like, oh, you want to raise a step? Okay, I'm ready. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay, let me grab both of your hands now.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me give you that. His smile that he does, and he's like, no.
Yeah.
It's going to be okay.
So gross.
He looked like the window licker video.
Like, it looks like if somebody was like, do you have dentures? And he was like confirming, yes, I do. Like, just like showing them all the way to the top.
Yeah.
The thing that like became like Megyn Kelly over the weekend was like, this is a hit job. Like, he was tucking in his shirt. He was laying on the bed, like under a person who was supposed to be a journalist who he had just met
yeah.
and was tucking in his shirt over and over again. Like, he might have been tugging in his shirt, but there was a second motive to that tugging in the shirt, I believe.
I mean, unless he was wrapping the bottom of his shirt around his dick.
Right.
I don't think he was
the way that we all tuck in our shirt.
Yeah. You know, be like, well, hold on now. You're having an interview now with a journalist. Wrap
right.
your shirt tails around your penis. It's yeah. the, I don't know. I think he was either doing that or he was doing the waistband tuck because he didn't want to have the wild boner.
Right.
No, I mean, like, look.
You can, my guess would be he had like one of those pump things.
You can theorize all you want, but the fact that he was laying down fucked all
yeah.
of that up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you can't say anything other than like this fool was laying
you
on
thought,
his back with
yeah.
the girl he just met, and they both are supposedly drinking. It's
right.
just ooh, it's all bad.
All very bad.
Had Louis C.K. vibes.
Very good. I thought the movie was good.
It was. It was good.
It was great.
Awesome.
All right. We'll get to shitty merchandise war another day. Marcella, all right. It's been wonderful, as always, having you. Where can people find you and follow you?
You can find me at Marcella Comedy. I'm also going to be on Sarah Cooper's Netflix special, Everything's Fine. Airs today, so stream that shit. I'm excited. I had a cute little role, cute little couple scenes. Nice. So check me out, sharing a scene with Helen Mirren and Sarah Cooper and Eddie Pepitone. It's really awesome.
Oh, wow. Oh, speaking of which, we should not skip over the fact that Billy Wayne Davis is in Borat too.
Oh, yeah.
A couple seconds. But that's dope that you're in Sarah Cooper's special. Is it? Well, I guess we can tune
yeah,
in to
stream
see.
It. You fucking yeah, yeah. idiot.
Is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
What's his name? Tom Thacker. I think that's how you pronounce his last name. He tweeted him. Tom A. Thacker is his handle. Pretty pissed off because last night I went to see a ventriloquist and he was wearing a mask the whole show. He just kept saying, "Trust me, I'm doing it." And you know what, Shireen Eunice, who has a great podcast with our Anna Hosnia, she had a really funny tweet. I couldn't find it, but it's like, it was like a couple weeks ago, where she's like, "When one pore closes, another pore opens." I've been thinking about it all, like, every day. It's really funny.
That is really good. Shireen's so fun.
Shiro Hero, I think is her Twitter handle.
Shiro Hero. Miles, where can people find you? What's a tweet you've been enjoying?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. And I haven't really been I haven't been on social media. So
damn,
I don't
you
know.
Haven't?
I don't know.
Why?
Nah, because I'm throttling off. That shit gets me too anxious. Yeah. And it's not, it like, and I say this all the time, I put way too much energy, like emotional energy interacting with social media than I need to, when I could just be like giving myself positivity and, you know, keeping my shit together so I can bring people the fucking show every day.
There you go. There you go.
I get plenty of news the normal way that I don't need to then like amplify it with like doom scrolling and shit like that. Cause I just got hooked on the doom scroll. Like it was too much. So yeah.
Good for you.
So I don't really have much going on in the way of anything there. But I will say this, because I just saw this, and this is funny. This is from past guest, Cody Ziegler, @YayForZig. He tweeted, 34 is Googling, will this cause acid reflux before eating a piece of food? It's a fine line when you go from, like, just mentally being like, damn, everybody's older than me. Like, what's, like, look at all these old people, to suddenly, like, the fuck is all, what do all these kids come from?
Yep.
What's wrong with these kids? Like, and it happens in a day, where suddenly you're like, everyone's old, to then suddenly you're like, no, everybody's young now, and I don't know what the fuck these kids are on.
That's also why I don't understand, like, especially men who date younger women. I'm like, how do you do it? Like, don't you get annoyed? Like, isn't that annoying? Just for that sake.
They're like, no, but if I'm with someone younger, I can actively avoid my own mortality and regress and fuck at the same time.
That's funny.
You will be tired.
Jack, where can we find you? What's tweet you've been?
Oh, my God. Marcella, that's so nice of you to ask. I'm at @Jack_O'Brien on Twitter. A couple of tweets I've been enjoying since you asked. Gremlini Nussbu, Emily Nussbaum, tweeted the headline, "Infection of PenSAIDS raises new questions about Trump's virus response." And she said, "I had no idea that was the plural for a group of PenSAIDS. Infection of PenSAIDS." And then Josh Gondelman tweeted, "You have to hand it to Jared Kushner. Because that's the only way he's ever achieved or accomplished anything."
And so I saw that one too. I almost included it, and I had a feeling. I had a feeling that was right.
You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what are we riding out on today?
Let's do a track. This is just a remix of a Lil Wayne's track, "I Feel Like Dying," but the beat was flipped by Flying Lotus. And, you know, sometimes we feel like dying, but, you know, in a good way, that we're just trying to shed our old forms. But this beat is so good. It's not on Spotify. You can only get this shit on YouTube or SoundCloud, but it's the Flying Lotus remix of "I Feel Like Dying." And if you just want to, like, I don't know, I get hyped up. The synths on here are so fucking heavy, and just love the rhythms. So check this one out.
Check the rhythms.
Right. Well, the Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for this morning. We'll be back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we'll talk to you all then. Bye.
Bye. Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at CedarPoint.com.